Amen. Amen. Today we're going to conclude our series called Whisper. I believe there is nothing more satisfying than to be able to hear the voice of God. I don't think there is anything more satisfying to be able to just sit in His presence and hear the soft whisper of His voice. Sometimes it's not just a voice. Sometimes it's a little nudge that we get from Him. I treasure those moments when I'm able to, in the middle of a busy day, I'm able to put a little time aside and be able to hear Him. Just a little soft whisper that I'm here with you. Sometimes it's that those simplest word that we get from God that lights up our day. I live for moments like this when I'm able to just feel His presence and know that He's here. Know that I'm not alone. I might be facing the whole thing. The whole world might be against me. But just to know that breathing next to me is the living God. When I get so close to Him that I can feel His breath over my shoulder, I know that He's here. I know that He's around me. I know that He surrounds me. I know that I'm walking through, no matter what difficult times I might be walking through, that I'm not doing it alone. He's there with me. There is nothing more satisfying than knowing that I am not alone. That He's there, right there with me. I believe throughout this series, and I'm hoping, I'm praying that you've developed a habit of spending time with Him, where you've got accustomed to His whisper, where He's whispered to you a few great things about how much He loves you, how much He cares for you. I believe you've developed those habits where you tune in to the low frequency of His whisper, where you get to pick out the low tone and you're able to hear Him, to hear His voice. The ability to hear God has very little to do or nothing to do with your role or your titles. But it has everything to do with you being His children. It says, my sheep. Not somebody else's sheep. My sheep hear my voice. My children hear my voice. And the voice of a stranger, a voice that they do not recognize, they would not heed to, because they know my voice. Amen. So the ability to hear God has everything to do with our identity of who we are in Him. Hearing God is not just something that we do, it is who we are. Hearing God is who we are, His sheep. Being able to hear Him, it's in our DNA. The ability to hear Him is in us. The blood that was shed that made us family with Him, that made us one, is that same blood that carries that DNA that says that we are His. And because we are His, we are called His sheep. And because we are His sheep, we are able to hear His voice. We are able to pick out His voice in the hustle and the bustle of everyday life. In the middle of chaos, in the middle of a storm, we can pick out that low frequency that says, I'm here. I'm here. you're not alone. I'm here with you. I'm right alongside you. There is nothing more satisfying than this. That knowing that our Master, that our Maker, the Lord of heaven and earth, the Ancient of Days, is right there alongside us. And He's saying, come. 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 Let's fellowship together. Let's you and me sit down and have a conversation. Isn't that what we linger? Isn't that what we want each and every day? For being able to say, Lord, you're here with me. Would you just sit down with me? Would you sit down with me over a cup of coffee? Let's talk. Let's chat. There is nothing more rewarding than us being able to hear His voice. Today we're going to wrap something new. We're going to unwrap this, and it is something that is very pivotal to us being able to hear His voice. If there's a subtitle to this, it should be this. Normally I don't give subtitle, but as I was preparing this message, I felt so drawn to this key word that God was giving to me. And I wrote it down, and it did not make a lot of sense in the beginning. But then as I developed the message, it's like the truth was unwrapping and unrevealing itself. And I was looking at it. I was like, Lord, which direction are you taking this? And then came Psalm 84, which we're going to go into. But before I get there, let me make this statement. The value and expectancy of God's whisper. The value and expectancy of God's whisper. What we value, we expect. What we value, we expect. When you value something, it means that you've invested something into it. You've put something into it. And because you value that something, you are expecting that something to be able to produce a return of what you've invested in. Because no one wants to value something and invest into something and not expect anything. Right? That would be foolish if you value something and you invested something into it and you're not expecting anything in return. If you look at a relationship, for example, it's the same thing. If you value the relationship, you invest into that relationship. You spend time with that person in that relationship. And then in return, you're expecting something in return. You're expecting the relationship to flourish, to grow from strength to strength. You're expecting a bonding. You're expecting something in return because of the value that you've placed on that relationship. So what we value, we expect. What we value, we invest in. And we expect that thing, whatever it might be, to be able to produce something in return. This coming up June in 2020, Dawn and I, we're going to be celebrating our 20th wedding anniversary. Pretty amazing. We got married when we were like 10 years old. 20th wedding anniversary. I remember the courting days, the courting year at Oral Roberts University. Huh? All that running made a big deal. Yeah, we ran a lot. We invested time into the relationship. We value the relationship. Because we value the relationship, even in the courting times, we invested into it. We spent every moment that you can think of together. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, study time. I mean, Old Roberts University is segregated, so it's, you know, boys, girls. What I'm saying that is mean, like they don't share dorms, you know what I'm saying? So we are separated. But every moment that we could be together in the cafeteria, in the library, studying, I was doing the studying. She was sleeping. But every moment that we shared together, we invested into it. You know why? The expectancy was huge. The expectancy was marriage. The expectancy was life together forever. Right? Isn't that a song somewhere? Right? Together forever. That was the expectancy. The expectancy was big. Can we say the same thing about our relationship with God? It's the same thing. What we value, we expect. What we value, we invest in. Do we have the same value that we place on the relationship with God? Because the expectancy is also huge. Sometimes we don't think of the expectancy. We think about, oh, just spending time with God. I'm just coming to church. You're not just coming to church. You could have done a million things today. You could have been home sleeping, right? It's a rainy day. Why not just sleep in? Why not just stay at home? Because you value the relationship with God, you're here. And now you didn't just show up just to sit there and listen to some dude giving you a message. You're here because you're expecting to hear God through all of this. You're expecting to hear God from the worship time, from the moment you walked in and somebody greeted you at the door. You're expecting to experience God on many layers, many levels. That is the expectancy that you have. That is the expectancy that I had this morning. I didn't just show up to church. I came here prepared. My heart was ready before I showed up here on campus. I'm still at ORU. My heart was ready. I brought in the fire from my home. I brought in the fire from my home. Because that fire was stoked up throughout the week. That fire was ready to come in throughout the week. I didn't just light it up this morning. It was there the whole time. I'm treasuring this fire. This fire is surrounded by God's presence, by what I'm hearing Him say, by what He's speaking to my spirit. I'm stoking that fire. I'm preparing that fire. And then I'm bringing this fire here this morning. That's how it is when we come and we expect God to show up. Because I value the relationship, I expect something in return out of that relationship. This morning, I'm expecting something in return from being here in the presence of God. So, in our relationship, Dawn and I, the amount that we've invested, we've received a return on the investment. 20 some years and 5 kids later, and one adopted son whose birthday is today, 21 years old. I promise I'm not going to embarrass him. That relationship has grown. The value has increased, so has the expectancy. Same is with our walk with God. When we were little bitty Christians, when we got saved, we valued that even at the early stages. But as we grow up as Christians, as children of God, the relationship has developed. We know Him a little bit more than what we used to. We know Him on a different level than what we used to. We hear His voice even clearer than what we used to. We are able to pick out His voice because of the value that we've placed in the relationship day after day after day after day. The relationship has grown, so has the expectancy of being able to hear Him. So there is no age difference, or there is no age qualification in there. It's all about the relationship. You could be a young Christian, young in age, and being able to hear His voice, probably on a higher, on a deeper level than probably a 60-year-old man. So the age is not really a big deal. It's the relationship that really matters. So when we are training these young people right there, we are training them at a young age to be able to dial in. Because if they are not trained to dial in, something else, another frequency will come in and fill in the void. We know this. We are adults. We can cope with many things. But the little ones, sometimes they find it even harder to be able to dial in because there's so many distractions around. We face that same level of distraction as adults. On their side, it's much, much, much more complex. So what we value, we invest. And then we expect something in return out of this. So the question again is, do we value our relationship with God in that same way? Our own personal relationship with God in that way? Because remember, what we value, we expect. It's an expectancy that you and I, we can only have when we are planted in the courts of our God. It's an expectancy to see that relationship flourish and grow beyond from what it is right now, only when we are planted in the courts of our God. There is such a place where you are planted that you can grow. There is such a place where you are planted by God where you can grow so that you may hear. There is such a place where you are planted, where you are invested in, where you will be able to hear His voice. Psalm 84, if you're there, we're going to go through it a little bit. I think this is the most beautiful psalm that paints a beautiful picture of value and expectancy of our relationship with God. I don't think there's any other psalm out there. Don't quote me on that. That can best describe the value of our relationship and expectancy of our relationship with God. Or being able to hear His voice. To dial in to hear His voice. To know that He's here. To know that He's whispering and we're able to hear Him. In verse 1 and 2 it says this. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. It's like we're approaching Him with this beautiful language and we're saying, Lord, how beautiful is the presence of being with You, Lord Almighty. We are magnifying His name the moment we step in. Isn't that what we did this morning? Through worship. The moment we walked in, we are glorifying His name. Because there's no other way that we can enter into His presence but to start by glorifying Him. We start by entering into this relationship by giving Him glory. By giving Him honor. Then He says, my soul, my mind, my will, my emotion, they yearn, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. He says, my mind, my will, my emotion, my intellect, everything about me yearns and even faints for the presence of our Lord. Is that the way we came in this morning? Where everything about us is yearning to be in His presence. Everything about us is saying, Jesus, if nothing else today, I want to feel Your presence. Is that the way that we came in this morning? I think that would set the course of the expectation. That will definitely set the course on the expectation of what we are hoping to receive at the end of this journey. Because we're on a journey right now, and by 12:15, this journey is going to be over. Is that the expectancy that we have when we came in for worshiping the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings this morning? How lovely it is to be in Your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns and even faints for the courts of our Lord God. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Are we crying out for the living God? I want you and nothing else. I want more of You, Lord. And then in verse 4 and 5 it says, blessed are those who dwell in Your house. They are ever praising You. When we dwell in the house of God, meaning when we are planted in the house of God, His praises are continually on our lips. Because we are in His presence all the time. We are surrounded by Him. We cannot help but to give Him glory. Can you imagine, just for a minute, if you're in a room and you're surrounded by His presence? Only Him. You close your eyes and there's no one around you. It's only you and Him. What a glorious moment. If you can really imagine that. It's just you and God Himself. He says, blessed are those whose strength is in You, whose hearts are set on a pilgrimage. A pilgrimage is you making a journey to go to a place that you call holy. A pilgrimage is you setting the course on a day, on a specific day that you say, you know what, I am going on this journey. And my intention of on this journey is to meet Him. And I'm not going to leave this pilgrimage until I meet Him. I believe this is the way we should come to church every Sunday. As if we are on this pilgrimage that we've waited for a whole week. We've been in preparation for the whole week to come on this Sunday morning just to be in His presence. Corporately as a church. Corporately as a body. Unified as one as a body. To come and be able to experience His presence. Just like the psalmist is describing right there. It says, my soul is yearning. My heart is crying out for you, the living God. Now, that's not a prayer for Sunday morning. It's a prayer throughout the week where our soul is crying out for Him. Said, I can't wait for this Sunday when I can join in with my brothers and my sisters and I'm able to meet Him face to face one more time. Now, this psalmist is painting this picture. He's saying there is value to you doing it. He's saying there's value for you to put the time and the investment of you every single day meeting Him face to face and developing this craving for Him that only Him and only Him can satisfy. So when we come to church every single Sunday, is with that hunger. I am not going to leave this place until I get my fill. I don't care what song is being sung. I don't care if it's a hymn or if it's a jazzed up, full bass kind of worship. I'm here to meet Him. And Him alone. I'm here to encounter the King of Kings. And I'm not leaving this place until I do. This is what the psalmist is describing. He's saying, my heart is set on this pilgrimage to have an encounter with Him. And then he goes on in verse 10 and 11. He says, better is one day. Just one day in your presence. Just one day in your presence. That 1,000 somewhere else. I'd rather be with you, Lord. Then he said, I would rather be a doorkeeper. The word doorkeeper means simply somebody who's standing by the door right there. He's saying, I would rather be a doorkeeper right there than be somewhere else. I believe this is the attitude that we need to have when we come to church. I don't care where I sit. I just want to be in your presence, Jesus. I just want you. And I want you and you alone. And I'm not leaving this place until I meet you. Until I have an encounter with you. He says, for the Lord is a sun. The word sun means provider. And the Lord is a shield. And the word shield means protector. The Lord bestows upon me favor and honor. And then it says, no good things does He withhold from those who walk is blameless. No good things would He withhold from you and me when our walk with Him is blameless. From this passage, we gather a couple of things. The value is everything in us yearning to be with Him. That's the value. The value is the relationship. Our soul, our heart, our flesh is crying out for Him. Because we value the relationship, we are investing in the relationship. The expectancy is this. Hear His voice. That's the expectancy. There is nothing more satisfying than coming in and being able to tune in to what He's saying. To know that I heard God today. There was a word that was for me today. I was here. I was broken. He ministered to me. That's more satisfying than anything else. The expectancy of that relationship is huge. It's big. The value is equally big. The more we value the relationship, the more we can expect. The more we devalue the relationship, the less the expectation will come for us to be able to hear Him. That's a hard truth. But it hinges on relationship. That's why I started with Dawn and I. For Dawn and I to be on the same wavelength, the same page in our marriage, there's a value that needs to be placed on that relationship. There is an investment that must take place so that we can be on the same frequency. We can be in sync with one another. We can be one with one another. If the value is not placed, the expectation is lowered. In fact, when the value is not placed, the enemy comes in. Isn't that the same way with our relationship with God? When the value of the relationship is not there, guess what? We find each and every excuse under the sun for not to show up for church. For not being here. For not being in His presence. For not spending time with Him. It's a slippery slope when the value of the relationship is not there. Before you know it, the enemy comes in and will bring in so many distractions that will take you away from that relationship. Now, it would be a shame if I tell you all of this, and me as a pastor, I don't equip the body to do it the right way. So we're going to get very practical today. With a few minutes that I have left, I'm going to get very practical. Number one is this. I believe you need to write this down. If you're taking notes. And if you're not taking notes, you still need to write this down. Somewhere. You need a dog. Yeah, you heard me right. You need a dog. And I'm not talking about a little chihuahua. I'm talking about you need a D-A-W-G. Like, what's up, dog? You need a dog. Your dog is your daily appointment with God. D-A-W-G. Is that right, Kyler? I said it right. What's up, dog? Don't leave hearing. Don't leave hearing from God to chance. Don't leave hearing from God to chance. Set a time, set a place. God will show up. Set a time, set a place, and God will show up. God instructed Moses in the book of Exodus, chapter 19. It says, instruct the people to get ready. Tell them to wash their clothes. I mean, that's getting ready. How many of you guys wash your clothes? How many of you guys are wearing clean clothes to come to church? God gave an instruction to tell your people to get ready, wash their clothes, consecrate themselves. Come to church with fire. And he said, on the third day I will meet them. There's a set time and a set place for God to come and meet you. Amen. Don't leave it to chance. Can you imagine this morning you showed up for church, there was no coffee? There was no donuts? No one was ready. Jesse had no idea what kind of song we're going to be singing. The whole team is in chaos. Can you imagine if we were not prepared to meet God this morning? Can you imagine the kind of chaos we're going to have? Your relationship or your dog depends on your preparation for it. You cannot leave this to chance. You cannot go about your day hoping somehow God will catch up with you. I told you we're going to get very practical. Because there's no point of giving a message if it you cannot take that message and apply it somewhere in your life. Otherwise, I might as well just read you something and just say, go home and be happy. You need a dog. You need a daily appointment with God. Number two is be still and worship. Be still and worship. That's probably the hardest thing to do when we are busy trying to do things because we want to do stuff. That's the way we are wired. That's the way men are wired. We want to take care of stuff. We want to do the business. We don't want to be still. But being still is important. 2 Chronicles 20, God instructed his children. Because man likes to fight the battle. Bring it to the enemy. But God instructed them to do this one thing. You will not have to fight this battle. You will not have to fight this battle. Take your position. Stand firm and see the deliverance of the Lord. The position they took was simply this. Worship. Take your position on a daily basis to do this. Jehoshaphat rearranged the army. He took out the strongest guys that were in the front. You know who he placed in the front? The worshipers. The people that would be still and would do this. Because there's power in you doing this. So don't feel ashamed when you come to church and you see us, people around you, raising their hands. They are in a position of victory. They are worshiping the Most High God in a position of victory. They are in the high place right there on the forefront of the battle. Heart surrendered unto God. It's a sign of surrender to God. I believe this is the international way or whatever manner of surrendering. Whenever you do that in any country that you go and you, the minute you go raise your hand and people know that, hey, this dude is surrendered. It's done. That's the position of victory. So take this position of victory each and every day. Be still and worship. Number three is read and pray. What to pray for? Pray what is on your heart. Pray what God has laid on your heart. If there's a name of a person that God has placed on your heart that morning when you wake up, that's who you pray for. If you're dealing with some trouble, a troubled situation, and that's on your heart, that's what you pray for. Easy. What do you read? You read the Word. Pick a translation that is easy for you to understand. Don't get caught up in many other things that are legalistic that will stop you from reading the Word. The worst thing is not reading at all. Read whatever you're comfortable with. Feed your spirit with the Word of God on a daily basis. Feed it. Feed it. Read and pray. Number two, number four is listen and write. Listen to what God is saying. After you've talked to Him, you've told Him everything that is going on, stop. Stop for a little bit and said, Lord, you speak and I'm going to pay attention. And as you're paying attention, you write it down. David said this, I have in writing as a result of the Lord's hand on me. And He enabled me to understand all the details of the plan because He has it in writing. He has it in writing. He's able to go back and look at it and say, oh, that makes sense. That makes sense what God said. I've got it in writing. He did not make sense when I wrote it down, by the way. But a few days later, I'm able to go back and read it. Oh, now I know why God was giving me that word. That word that did not make sense last week, all of a sudden, it's making sense today. Because I've got it down in writing. My prayer for us, for Oceans United, is simply this. That as a body, we will grow. We will grow, spiritually growing to hear His voice. There is nothing more satisfying than knowing that He's right there. He's speaking and we are listening. I'm going to finish with that psalm again. Psalm 84. He says, my soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh, they cry out for the living God. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun, a provider, a shield, a protector. The Lord bestows favor and honor, and no good things does He withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Church, I believe this is for us. Would you please stand?